with the public session, and I'd like to introduce Bert Lazarin, our first vice chair, to run the public session. Again, if you'd like to speak, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Do we have the sheet?
Do we have the sheet?
Sheet is coming. And I'll take this opportunity to thank our wonderful folks from the board office, Patty Gouris, Nellie Gonzalez. Thank you guys very much, especially this week, for putting in all your extra work. Thank you.
Okay, we have four people signed up. Anybody else want to sign up?
I'll speak for a couple minutes.
Do we have a fifth or a sixth? Okay, we only have four. This is like an event, only four people signing up. So I can do all four at the same time. So if you get ready, you can line up. The first one we have is Titania Strickland. And then we have, and I may not pronounce your name correctly, Romana Rios. And then Tom Kaler. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then Paul Ruiz. Ruiz, right? Okay. And you each have 2 minutes.
Hello, good evening. My name is Tatiana Strickland. I'm from the Department of Consumer Affairs at the Community Benefits Division. I just wanted to let you guys know that there is a new law that passed. If you didn't already hear about it, it's called the Commuter Benefits Law, which basically states that any employer that has over 20 or more full-time employees, they have to offer the eligible employees the opportunity to use up to $255 towards their commute back and forth to work. So I have some flyers in the back. I also have some flyers in regards to paid sick leave law. So if you have any questions, you can call 311 or you can visit our website at www.nyc.gov/commuterbenefits with an S at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. My name is Romana. You got it right. So I'm from the YMCA, the McBurney YMCA down on 14th Street. I want to talk to you about three programs that we run that are, some are free, some are not, but obviously we accept anyone regardless of ability to pay. So the first program is called Teen Center. Has anybody heard of it? No? Cool. All right. Teen Center is a free program we run during the school year for teens in New York City. Every Y actually runs it, so if you live close to another one, that's cool too. I can definitely find out when they're running it. Ours is on Friday nights from 6 to 9. If you know a teen between 12 and 19, they are able to come completely for free, use the Y, swim, run the track, do whatever they want, play basketball, handball, and that is number one. Number two is a fitness program we have called YMVP. So the best way I can describe it is basically personalized training for anybody at any fitness level who is a teen. Also totally free, can sign up without being a member, perfectly fine. I have flyers for that in the back. I also have my contact information in the back in case you have questions. I'm more than happy to answer anything. The third thing is summer camp, which is not free. But we obviously have financial aid for anybody who's interested. Other than that, I have the program brochure in the back that lets you know the programs we have. We have programs from going from 4-year-olds all the way to 16-year-olds. Obviously, they vary. And our theme this summer is sort of carry your own torch, so infusing the Summer Olympics, which are happening this year, so that everybody can sort of find the Olympian within themselves and learn the partnership and all of the stuff that goes into that. We also have, every year we have science and a circus camp, which is for 6 and 7-year-olds, which is actually, I think it's really cool, I'm a little biased. But we have that as well. All of that information is in the back. We also have a basketball specialty camp, sports specialty camp, and we do some video editing and stuff with some of the older students so that they get a chance to see that as well. So that's it for me. Thank you. I appreciate it. Leaving my stuff in the back.
Your location again?
What location? McBurney YMCA, 14th Street, 6th Avenue.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. I came tonight because I need to thank our chairperson here for the incredible job that she did at the town hall meeting with Tony Ford. You did an amazing job.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's only our first shot across this bow. the PA, the pathetic authority. I sat in Sunday afternoon traffic waiting an hour to get through the Lincoln Tunnel just last Sunday at 4:30 in the afternoon. The problem wasn't because of where to park the buses in Hell's Kitchen. The problem is because there's only 6 tunnels to go through the Lincoln Tunnel. That's the problem. So we're going to have to fight this. We're going to have to make this painful every inch of the way for the Port Authority. The Westside Neighborhood Alliance, who I'm a member of, has committed themselves to fight this to the end for what's right for our community, just like what we had to do with the stadium, what, not 10 years ago? So we're back doing this again. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the micro, back row. On the micro side, in December, the owner of my building at 517-525 West 45th Street sent a set of plans to the DOB to add a 4th, 5th, and 6th floor onto our building, contrary to the zoning regulations inside the preservation district of the Special Clinton District. This community board wrote a letter to the DOB, and, oh, the 6th floor disappeared. It's gone. Now, in March, the community board wrote a letter about minimum window distances, which they were violating by putting on the 4th and the 5th floor. We just got the plans yesterday. New plans. The 4th and 5th floor are now gone. And that's because of you guys. It's because of our community board. And I'm here to thank you for that. Because without your help, we wouldn't be able to deal with these problems. You damn community activists. And that 4th, 5th, and 6th floor on my building, micro, I grant you, it's the same damn thing that's going to happen to the PA, the pathetic authority. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And we want to thank you for keeping us up to date on all of the things that were going on in your building, because what has happened in your building is not unique. We had a great meeting with DOB, as one of our letters indicates. So we are finding out that this is a problem across the city, but it's happening more and more within our district, so we will continue this fight. And we have, luckily, all of our local elected officials behind us that are very strong-voiced, and we hope to prevent these from happening before it gets to the point where they're adding on to buildings like yours. So thank you for being involved and keeping us up to date.
Okay, we have 2 more people, 1 new sign-up. But we have Paul Ruiz.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Paola Ruiz, and I don't have anything to update you on, but I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm the new Manhattan Board of Director at the Mayor's Office at the CAU unit. For those that do not know what the CAU unit does, is we work with community boards, local elected officials in the community about the issues that are affecting the community. We write policies to address those issues. I know Manhattan has not had a Manhattan Board of Directors for over a year, so I am here now. I'll stick around if you guys have any questions. I'm happy to connect with you, exchange information. If there are any issues in the community that you feel that I can bring back to the mayor. Thank you.
Excuse me, what is the CAU acronym
for? Community Affairs Unit. Yeah. Yes.
I think this is great that you're here. The mayor has finally sent somebody.
Yes.
Thank you. And there are a lot of things we'd like to talk to you about.
I am sure. And I'm here.
Every month. All the elected representatives come. I would hope the mayor would send somebody.
This is really useful
to you every month.
Yes, thank you so much. So I'll stick around if you guys have any questions. I'll definitely be coming to this more on a regular basis. I know that this area needs a lot of attention. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And my plea for additional sign-ups, we did get somebody else. We have Nicolette Wertha?
Witcher.
Witcher.
Hello everyone, I'm here to talk about something really fun. I'm from Hudson River Park, and we are going to talk, I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about some of the fun things we have lined up for the late spring and into the early summer and beyond. So we have this brochure in the back of the room, and it details all of the environmental education programs that Hudson River Park does. In addition, we're going to be coming to you next month to talk about all of the other type of dance and movie and concert type programming that will launch the end of June into July. But we educated over 20,000 New Yorkers last year about the Hudson River environment. We try to do it in a really hands-on and engaging way. And so I just encourage you all to pick up a brochure. Most of our programs are free. If not, they're exceptionally low fee. And I want to highlight just a couple of new things that those of you that do know about Hudson River Park, maybe you can learn a couple about some of our new initiatives. So fishing program is always been one of our most popular. It's called Big City Fishing. It's so crowded and so overwhelming sometimes. That we got a little feedback that perhaps a 55 plus program where it's a little more relaxed and shaded and there's seating would be fun. So we are offering our first time senior fishing at Chelsea right up here, 63, right next, so easy access by the bus. Senior fishing Thursday afternoons. That's starting in mid-June. In addition, something new, we are offering Sunset Park cruises, one in June and one in August. We'll have people talking about the park and its development, and we'll have guest speakers at each of those kind of highlighting certain aspects of the development of Hudson River Park. Finally, I just want to mention that we are composting, and we invite you all to compost. So
yay,
we're accepting your compost. And we'll process it and turn it into soil and great things for our plants. So please bring your compost to Hudson River Park. Thank you.
Where are your drop-off points?
Oh, yeah, great. Wanted to mention, but I heard the buzzer. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 to 6 at Pier 40. And then Sundays at Chelsea Waterside Park. Sundays from 11 to 2 at Chelsea Waterside.
That's at 23rd Street, right?
23rd Street, yep.
Okay, all you Chelsea people, no excuse. There's compost right in the neighborhood.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
there's more of these brochures in the back, but there you go. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Bert. Okay, a couple of changes to tonight's agenda. As you will note on your voting sheet, we have item number 7 and item number 9, which are tabled. So do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as changed? Second? Okay, all those in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, so the agenda is adopted. Last month's minutes. Do I have a motion to adopt the minutes? Okay, there were no questions. Okay, great. Second? All those in favor? Okay, the minutes from last month. Thank you very much, Lily. They've been adopted. I am looking for our representative from Manhattan Borough President's Office. No, I know. Yeah. So our usual representative, Drew, unfortunately sustained an injury and will be out for the short term. We do happen to have someone who's covering, but I don't think they were able to make it this evening. So I'm going to ask the ladies if they have the list of those elected official representatives that will be speaking tonight. In the meantime, if those of you do not know, Jesse is not here this evening. His father passed last week. The executive committee did decide to send something on behalf of the board, which we did send. I hope it wasn't too presumptuous to send it on behalf of the whole board, to send our condolences to the Bodine family. He's doing well. Tonight there is a service, so that's why he missed this evening, but he's itching to get back to work, so we hope that it'll be a smooth transition for him coming back to work. But the ladies in the office have been great, and we thank you very much for your help.
Elected official list?
Okay. Eli, did you find a voice? No. Okay. So nothing new to report from State Senator Holyman's office. They're in session. There's a lot going on. He's fighting for more ethics reform. But Eli is going to save his voice for when there's a lot more to talk to us about. So do we have Sarah Malloy Good from Assemblymember Blake's office? No? Okay. Matt Green? Did Matt Green make it? No? We have a new person here from Scott Stringer's office. Eric, if you'd like to come up and introduce yourself, either over here or over there, whichever you'd like.
Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing today? Good. Awesome. I love to hear that people are doing great. So my name's Eric. I'm his new Manhattan Borough liaison. I'm going to be covering CB4, which I'm very excited about. I've heard nothing but amazing things, so you know, it's going to be great. Just a few quick things. The controller put out his red tape commission about small business needing more help and communication and less bureaucracy and delays from city agencies. I have a pool pamphlets in the back. If you want me to read that to you, I would love to do that right now, but I know we don't have the time for that. And then we also, another report you put out in regards to millennials that have faced toughest economic times since the Great Depression. So anyone who's 18 to 24, 29, I'm sorry, we had less job growth and such. And again, there is booklets in the back for y'all to check out. And some events we have going on. Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's Tuesday, May 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Surrogates Courthouse. And then we also have the Haitian Flag Day Breakfast. You do not have to be Haitian to attend. So that is Friday, May 20th, and doors open at 8:30 a.m. There's information in the back. Again, my name's Eric, and I look forward to working with y'all. Thanks.
Thank you. And from State Assembly Member Linda Rosenthal's office, Erica Overton. Welcome, Erica.
Hi, everyone. So I am Erica Overton from Assembly Member Linda B. Rosenthal's office. Quick update tonight. We have called on NYCHA, since NYCHA has done so many good things the last couple of months. Sarcasm. We are calling on NYCHA to test the water quality in both of our NYCHA developments, which is Amsterdam Houses and Harborview, only because Preet Bharara has subpoenaed NYCHA, since they may have lied whether or not there was lead issues in undisclosed developments across the city, so they wouldn't lose their federal funding. So an issue and something we would like to make sure that doesn't affect our constituents if they were affected at all. Second, we are railing against DOB yet again for after-hour variance permits. They are now studying the issue. The Assembly Member originally wrote a letter back in 2013 telling them this was an issue. Since 2012, there has been an increase by 47% in after-hour variance permits that have been granted. So we're very glad that they're finally addressing something that the Assembly Member sounded the alarm on years ago. And so we are asking them to make a bunch of reforms to the way they do PW1s as well as they do to after our variances. And the community board is in the back if anyone wants to see. But thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'd like to welcome a special guest, Congressman Jerry Nadler. Thank you. You can either come up right to the front or in the center wherever you feel most comfortable.
Thank you very much. It's good I see everybody this way, but this is... thank you very much. It's very good to be here. Let me just mention, I just want to be fairly brief, so I'll mention just a couple of four things briefly. I don't have to tell you about all the dysfunction in Congress and about all the fights and everything. You read about that. I'm going to mention two things that we actually accomplished in the last week that didn't get a lot of publicity, that I had a hand in, and that are fairly important, because they're typical of things that occasionally happen in Congress that don't get publicity, but that are important, and that pass despite our general partisan obstructionism, partisan dysfunction, and so forth. One was, I'm going to mention two bills, both of which I was an author of. One was the Trade Secret Acts, a major bill, passed the Senate 87 to nothing, the House 402 to 2. And basically, in this economy especially, it's very important that companies keep trade secrets. And those trade secrets may be the formula for Coca-Cola or the special way of doing something, and they're very important intellectual property for companies. And we've had trade secrets in this country probably since the foundation of the country. And every state has a civil cause of action. You can sue someone for stealing your trade secrets, and you can sue them from continuing to use it. Federal government can prosecute you criminally for stealing a state secret, a trade secret. But there's been no way of suing in federal court. So if in the days when a trade secret would be a blueprint, and you'd steal it out of somebody's file cabinet and spirit it away, state enforcement could make sense. Today, where a trade secret can be on a hard drive, or can be transmitted across the world instantaneously, you need federal enforcement too, the ability to enforce it in federal court. So after 2 years of negotiations, we passed the bill, which I was one of the authors of, to have a federal cause of action for trade secrets. This is actually not something you're going to read about in the political news or in the headlines, but it's very economically important to this country. And we managed to do that last week. The second thing is the Electronic Privacy Act, which I was again an author of. And we've actually been working on this on and off since 2009. When I was chairman in 2009 and 10 of the Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights and Civil Liberties, I chaired hearings on this topic. When the Republicans took over in 2011, they let it drop for a few years, but we picked it up again and passed bipartisan legislation on it last week. This one hasn't gone through the Senate yet, but hopefully will soon. And this is the following. We passed a bill, I shouldn't say I wasn't there then, but Congress passed a bill in 1986 called the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. Basically, you write an email or any other electronic communication. Is it private? Can the government just get it without a warrant, without any kind of due process? The Fourth Amendment says the right of people to be secure in the houses, persons, papers, and effects shall not be violated except for probable cause with a warrant and so forth. And that's our essential guarantee of privacy and of civil liberties and due process. But does that apply to emails? When the Fourth Amendment was written, no one thought of anything but email. An email doesn't exist in a physical form. Said it was that you wanted to abandon it. Well, obviously this isn't true today. So the Electronic Privacy Act that passed the House, which I was one of the authors of, as I said, brings this up to date. Basically it says it provides warrant protection, provides protection for privacy in electronic communications that wasn't there or that was very inconsistently applied until now. And if the government wants to see your email, it's got to get a warrant, it's probable cause, the usual types of protections. And again, it's in concept, it sounds simple, it gets more complicated. It took us a couple years to work it out, but we did pass it in the House, and I think soon we'll pass the Senate. The third thing I wanted to mention is much more contentious, and this is getting some headlines. And this is you remember that last summer, some group of, I'll call them extremists, I think they are, made videotapes, doctored videotapes, inaccurate videotapes of Planned Parenthood people trying to show that Planned Parenthood was selling fetal tissue. Now, fetal tissue, which is tissue as a result that results from an abortion or from a miscarriage, is perfectly legal to use. And in fact, essential to use medical research. Polio would not have been conquered without the use of fetal tissue. It's being used today as essentially an essential medical test for Alzheimer's and many other things. But the law says in 1988, President Reagan appointed a commission of bioethicists and others to figure out what was the ethical way to handle this sort of thing. And they came in with a report which resulted in 1993 in Congress passing a bill, the Senate passed it by something like 93-2 or something. And basically what they said was, and what the law is that fetal tissue is perfectly legal to use for research or for other purposes, but you cannot sell it for a profit. You can sell it for expenses, but you cannot sell it for a profit. And of course, it almost goes without saying, but it is the law, you may not do an abortion for the purpose of generating fetal tissue. No one has alleged anybody does. Okay, so these doctored tapes were doctored to make it seem as if Planned Parenthood was selling fetal tissue for profits to discredit Planned Parenthood and to make them bigger targets than they are. And the rhetoric is not fetal tissue, the rhetoric is selling baby body parts. So despite the fact that there were investigations launched by four congressional committees controlled by the Republicans and by eight states, all of which came up empty, all of which said nothing illegal or wrong was going on, all of them concluded that, nonetheless, the anti-choice people in Congress keep flogging this and keep trying to use this to destroy, not just in Congress, but in various state legislatures, to destroy Planned Parenthood, discredit abortion, and so forth. The House set up a few months ago, established by resolution on a party line vote, a select committee on infant lives. We, that is the Democrats, we call this the select committee to attack women's health care. That's our name for it. And it is set up really to continue using this whole thing of those doctored tapes to flog Planned Parenthood and to try to, I think what they're going to try to do is to make illegal the use of fetal tissue for any purpose, for medical research or any other. In any event, eight Republicans, all staunch anti-choice activists, were appointed to this, and six Democrats who were appointed by Nancy Pelosi, all staunch pro-choice activists. I'm the only male among the six Democrats appointed because of my history of pro-choice activism. And we've held a series of hearings, and these hearings have been obviously one-sided and so forth, but the worst thing about them is that the leadership of the committee, it's chaired by Marshall Blackburn of Tennessee, under the resolution establishing the committee, the chairperson can issue subpoenas without a vote of the committee. And they are using this power, or she is using this power, to issue subpoenas not only to this abortion clinic and to that abortion clinic and to this research facility and that medical school, but to individuals. And to ask these institutions, give us the names. What residents participated in the fetal tissue research? What interns participated in abortions? Give us the names of all these people. Now, there's no conceivable reason for these names, except for physical intimidation or attack. You know there have been, we know there have been, from some anti-choice extremists, physical attacks and even murders of abortion doctors and others. And we cannot get from the Republicans any legitimate reason for these subpoenas that they can articulate to us, nor can we get any promise that they won't make public the names. And the only purpose that we can see of these subpoenas, because it's not a subpoena for information, I mean that too, which we're not objecting to subpoenas for information, but the only purpose we can see for the subpoenas and the names is to make the names public so they can be targeted for physical intimidation, attack, or even murder. And that's why I said, I was quoted as saying in the papers at one hearing about 2 weeks ago, I said this is worse than McCarthyism, because Senator McCarthy attacked people's jobs, you are attacking people's lives. You are threatening people's lives. So this is going on, and we're fighting it, obviously. It remains to be seen if the Republicans, when these subpoenas are refused, when people refuse to adhere to them, when they will go to the House and seek a contempt, and seek the House to vote to contempt, in which case all hell will break loose politically. Last thing I wanted to mention is a happier subject, and that is that I have been leading a campaign for the last couple of years, which seems to be coming near fruition, to make the Stonewall Inn and the park in front of it part of the National Park Service, a national monument, to mark the Stonewall Rebellion that happened almost 50 years ago, that marked one of the beginning points of the LGBT civil rights revolution, of the campaign to recognize LGBT civil rights. You can do this in two ways. You can do it by legislation, which I introduced, and they got person, Senator Gillibrand, introduced the Senate a couple years ago, and the President can designate it. There are a lot of steps toward this happening, and we have held a series of meetings with LGBT activists, community activists, other people, all stakeholders over, stakeholders over a series of years. But now it is coming to a major inflection point. And on Monday, this coming Monday, May 9th, at PS 41, which is at 116 West 11th Street at 6 o'clock, I will be hosting a meeting with the Secretary of the Interior and the head of the National Park Service to hear from people, from members of the public, what they think of this and so forth. And this is one of the final steps before the President can officially designate. We also have to get the state legislature to allow this is city parkland, the Christopher Park right in front of the city parkland. The city has to be willing to transfer it to the federal government. We've worked with the de Blasio administration. They've been very cooperative and they're working on this. The state has to okay what's called the alienation of parkland. Technically, you're alienating from state parkland to city from the city to give to the federal government. Senator Hoyle, Brad Hoyleman and Assemblywoman Deborah Glick sponsored legislation to enable that. This past legislative session, the governor signed it into law, so the state legislature said, okay, city council's on record, the mayor's cooperating. We've got the federal, we've had a whole series of meetings, I said, all kinds of LGBT and community organizations. They're all on board. And one of the final stages is due diligence and community solicitation by the Secretary of the Interior and the National Park Service, and that final stage will happen Monday night, this coming Monday, May 9th at PS 41, where, as I said, the Secretary of the Interior and the National Park Service will be at the meeting that I'll be hosting. Everyone is invited, by the way, and that's why I'm mentioning it here, and why I repeated the place, PS 41, 116 West 11th Street, 6 o'clock, several times. Everyone is invited to offer your comments, etc. We are hopeful, and I do believe that this will be one of the final steps that the President can complete the designation pretty soon. So, thank you. That was my report.
Thank you for your service. So, does anyone have any questions? Yes?
Congressman, thank you for coming tonight. I'm sure you're aware that we're dealing with the possibility of the Port Authority bus terminal expansion.
Oh, yes.
And the negative impact that this will have on our community. One of our concerns, we're also concerned that the Port Authority has indicated they have no interest in expanding any part of this infrastructure into New Jersey. And I'd like to get your thoughts on the project and what maybe your office can do to help us protect our community from this project.
Well, I agree with what you just said. I don't like their plan for expanding the bus terminal the way it will. I certainly don't like the use of eminent domain that's threatened. And the dogmatic approach that says, now expanding service into New Jersey can be done in a number of ways. I'm not necessarily a great fan of expanding the 7 line there to Secaucus, which has been one proposal. I think that's very expensive. I'm not sure how cost-effective, but there are several other ways you could accomplish the same goal. Some of the New Jersey people have taken the approach, and Chairman Degnan of the Port Authority, you can't do anything in New Jersey. You can't, for instance, set up a facility in New Jersey that would give you a one-seat. It's got to be a one-seat ride, and they're very dogmatic. I will tell you, and we have to fight this. I don't like this whole proposal. But I will tell you that the Port Authority now, and I deal with the Port Authority all the time. I deal with it because of the rail freight tunnel proposal, because of various other things. The Port Authority now is poisonous. The atmosphere between the New York and New Jersey members is poisonous. The chairman of the Port Authority, the current chairman, Mr. Degnan from New Jersey, is their attitude is it's a zero-sum game, New Jersey versus New York. Very bad attitude, very bad way of doing things. So we're going to oppose this on this. In what modality, I'm not sure yet. Now, a lot of things are coming up. I don't think this is. But a lot of things are coming up at a board meeting of the Port Authority in July. And it's going to be... And the governor, the Cuomo administration, has to decide how to handle this. We're in contact with them on some of the matters. Because various things for New York have to get through, not just things for New Jersey. And there are things that really ought to be looked at from both points of view. It's not a zero-sum game. It's not New Jersey versus New York. So, yes, this is one of those things that I don't like their proposal at all, and it's a long, long way from getting it through. This community, the West Side, has shown we can stop proposals we don't like, whether it's Westway or the West Side the Stadium or other things. We will fight this.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service. We also have speaking this evening from Assemblymember Dick Godfrey's office, Gabby.
Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Gabby Denilel from Assemblymember Dick Godfrey's office. I just have a few updates on the legislative work that the Assemblymember has been doing over the past month. So our office has received quite a few concerns about people who are trying to gain access to medical marijuana in the state. The Department of Health implemented the system for obtaining medical marijuana in January, and a lot of patients who could use the medication have had a lot of difficulty both accessing the medicine and paying for it. So the Assemblymember introduced three bills that would improve the 2014 Compassionate Care Act, which is the overall legislation that wrote out what the medical marijuana system would be. One of those bills would allow physician assistants and nurses to also be able to prescribe medical marijuana. Right now it's just doctors who are able to take a certain training online provided by the Department of Health, which authorizes them to prescribe medical marijuana. The second bill would be to expand the list of eligible conditions. Some of the conditions now are terminal cancer, HIV, AIDS, and epilepsy, or children with epilepsy. And this bill would expand that list to include many more conditions for people in need. And the third bill would be to create an advisory committee for the commissioner of the Department of Health, since this is a new system in New York State, and it would be very helpful to have people like doctors who have worked with medical marijuana in other parts of the country to be able to advise the Department of Health on how to do this successfully. And one non-marijuana related bill that he's also worked on is co-sponsoring the expansion or public expansion, sorry, public access expansion to EpiPens so that youth organizations and daycare centers could have people who are trained to utilize EpiPens. You know, as someone who also has an EpiPen, it's very difficult if you forget it at home and you never know when an emergency would happen. So this would allow a lot of public centers and even restaurants maybe to have trained staff who would be able to use EpiPens on people in emergencies. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabby. And we have a new representative from the public advocate Letitia James office, Gabriel Lewenstein, who'd like to introduce himself, and he'll be coming to our meetings every month. So just an opportunity to introduce himself. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for letting me speak. Again, my name is Gabriel Lewenstein, and I'm representing the public advocate Letitia James. So just had a few very quick updates about some of the work that's been going on in our office this month. One is we're very proud. We settled a lawsuit against NYCHA. What had happened over the winter was that there was this sort of incredible internal policy where they were refusing to turn on the heat unless it was below 20 degrees in NYCHA housing, and that is absolutely insane. And so when this came to light, the public advocate sued on behalf of NYCHA residents and are happy to report that, of course, they backed down very, very quickly. But that was something that was very important for a lot of community members. The other thing that I think we're really excited about, in November, the public advocate introduced legislation to protect pedestrian crossings. There's this antiquated situation where what happens where is that as soon as the red blinking light starts, even though the countdown is still going, pedestrians technically lose the right of way. So if there is an incident, it makes it much harder for pedestrians to sue and to receive recompense for that. So we are have submitted a legislation to correct that, and there have been hearings, and things are going very, very well, and we're looking forward to seeing that passing as well. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Okay, so that's it from our local elected official representatives. Thank you all for the updates. We are moving now on to the rest of our session, which is our business session.
The district manager report, as I mentioned, Jesse is not here, but he did give me a few updates. Just some housekeeping. Quality of Life will not be meeting this month. The next meeting for Quality of Life will be on Monday, June 6th. Also, just another housekeeping note, the Waterfront Parks and Environment Committee will be meeting at a new location this month. It'll be at Cameo Studios. That will be on Thursday, May 12th, their usual date, and that address is 307 West 43rd Street in Studio B. That will be updated on the website. That's a new location for the Waterfront Parks and Environment Committee. Also, the Housing, Health, and Human Services Committee this month will be meeting on May 24th. They have to reschedule tentatively for that date, so let's just save the date. May 24th, we will make sure to update the calendar, and those of you on the committee, we will make sure that you get an email to know that is affirmative. And I'd like to welcome two new members this evening. We have two new appointees. They are both Chelsea appointees from Corey Johnson's office. We have Liam, and we have Matt. So Liam Buckley and Matt Bergman, just say hello, stand up so we all can see you. And again, welcome. The work is just beginning for you. Liam, I don't know if you wanted to just introduce yourself and say in a few words, let us know a little bit about you, if you'd like. Great, thank you, welcome. And Matt, I know you didn't want to mention anything, but I just want to say Matt has worked with Corey Johnson's office and on his campaign, so he's very familiar with issues in the district, and like a longtime member of or resident of Chelsea, so we're looking forward to both of you being productive members of our community board, and get ready for a lot of work. JD, you wanted to say something to welcome?
Liam's from Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. My bad. My neighborhood.
School in Chelsea.
Okay, all right. I'll strike all those yucky things I was saying about Chelsea and you, so it's okay. So we're going to go a little bit out of order because we are very lucky to have someone from the Manhattan Borough President's Office. I didn't know if you wanted to just... update us on anything, Lucille? Or, we already mentioned that Drew is a little bit under, well, can't
yeah,
he's Drew, a little bit of an injury.
Drew is really sad to not be here. I saw him a few days ago, and he will be undergoing ACL surgery, hopefully next week. So please keep him in your thoughts. And, you know, he's still going to be accessible via email, although obviously it will present some challenges, but I'm here. And so you can always contact the office and get to me if you need anything related to any CB4 matters. Always here to help. Just a few items. So we're really glad that Liam and Matt have joined the community board. We really are excited to have a team member on the board, and we think that both members will bring a great contribution. So we're really excited. And following up on that, for the people that we were unable to appoint, our office, we're still working on a date, but would like to have a event with area nonprofits that are looking for board members. And so we want to sort of do a speed dating event where everyone sort of gets together and, you know, we would break people up by sort of their areas of interest. And so I think it would be a good way to sort of introduce folks to nonprofit organizations that are really in need of volunteers and people to make a contribution. Following up on that also, June 14th will be our second annual community board reception, so we hope that you all come out for that. It's going to be at the Museum of Natural History, June 14th from 6 to 8 p.m., so we hope that you all come and bring your loved ones and eat wine and or drink wine and eat really good cheese and crackers and see all the cool sights. And I think that they're actually letting us, there's like some cool tour going on at the Museum of Natural History, so all of you will be able to be part of the tour. So we're really excited about that. A few other items, oh yes, in my hand, our long-awaited congestion report. So a while back, our first hearing was a congestion hearing, looking at traffic in Manhattan, and so we finally have the report. I have copies in the back for folks that are interested. Let's see what else. Yes, the recommendations from our Construction Safety Working Group will be released next week, and we will make sure that folks from CB4 get those recommendations as soon as they come out. We're also next week starting a data science task force on May the 10th from 10 to noon, and the idea is to bring together teachers and students and parents to look at how we can bring data science classes into Manhattan high schools. And so we're really excited about that. And then there, you know, I have a whole bunch of events and stuff on our, in our newsletter, so you can certainly read that. But obviously, you know, please feel free to reach out. Everyone up here has my information, but I'm happy to see everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you, Lucille. And we thank the borough president for all of her support in terms of our town hall with Port Authority, also in other matters throughout the year that we go to bat for. Gail's always there in our corner, so thank you for those updates. But if the wine that you guys serve at the Museum of Natural History can be chewed, I don't think it's going to be any good. So. All right, so chair report. So another busy month for me. I got to meet a lot of people, but a couple of things to note. We're starting to talk to a couple of different folks that are responding to the Covenant House RFP, getting a sense of what they're looking to do with the project, and they're feeling us out to find out what to clarify what was not in the RFP, but our concerns for the community. So that process is starting. Also had a meeting with the Hudson Yards Development Corporation, just to get my feet sort of on the ground to understand everything, all the work that was done by all of you that have been on the community board much longer than I have to put together the zoning and the protections in place. So that was really very informative for me to also not only find out the history, but also to hear how they're going forward. I was able to attend their board meeting, which just reiterated everything that we had in our own little meeting. Had a great visit with the new Durst building. I think it's called VAV. Was that what the name is? VIA. Sorry, I knew it was a V. I have a picture of JD with a hard hat on that says it. I couldn't remember what it said. But very interesting to see the building. The building has about 790 units. There's over 150, I believe, that are affordable. It was definitely an interesting view of this building from the inside. The design inside is just as intriguing as the design outside, but what's most important is that it does have affordable units, so that was really great to get a look at this project that we've seen through Euler. Also had a chance to get a tour of Gotham West, which has been in the community for a while, and that affordable piece there is fantastic. We were able to see some of the apartments, and we're hoping to hear more good things from this developer within our community when possible. A couple of the other meetings that we had, got a chance to meet with Brad Hoyleman just to pick up on our concerns about Port Authority. Great to have his support, and we're glad to have that detailed conversation as a debriefing after our town hall, which I'd say thank you to the working group, Betty. That was a great job in getting all the material together. Thank you to Joe Restuccia for all of the work that not only you did, but your staff did to put the logistics together, get us a ramp in case anyone needed, and make us ADA compliant. So we really appreciate that. The whole program, if you did not get a chance to go or see all the wonderful tweets and other postings on our social media from Oscar and from Austin. It was a great event. It was well attended. It was standing room only. So this is clearly a very important issue for our community. It is not going to be our last conversation. And that is it for my chair report. So now we're going to move on to the items on the agenda. And I'll start with transportation.
On the entrance street buses have received friendly friendly amendment. I've received a bunch of comments from Betty, which I will incorporate. They are, you know, small changes. Two meaningful changes. One is asking a much stronger language about the Fifth Avenue star and the fact that it is supposed to be removed. Many of the people on other community boards have complained about that, and I know they are complaining very loudly. So I will strengthen our language to say we really don't want it to be removed. And then there was another suggestion that I dropped in the letter, which was that the request to extend the M23 all the way up to New York, so people could be able to go to M23 and then go up at 11th Avenue or 12th Avenue to go up to Hudson Yard. And I think it doesn't cost us to really include that in the request. So with those two changes, that's the M23 letter. And maybe we want to vote on that first.
Okay, so this is item number one as a separate item from transportation. Any questions? Yes. Pardon. Stronger language to
yes.
Note that the area is too narrow for
right.
Those in wheelchairs.
Yes,
Bert?
Yeah, the extension of the M23 north to the Hudson Yards, are you proposing a 10th Avenue or the west side? Or let them figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. It's a concept. I don't think we're going to get it right away, but we won't put it on.
Thank you.
Any other questions? So could you have a motion as amended? Okay, second. All right, all those in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, one opposed? Oh, I apologize. Two opposed? Present not eligible? Abstentions? Okay, it passes with two no's.
Then we can do 228 bundle.
Okay, any questions on items 2 through 8, which we're bundling? Remember, we are tabling number 7 and number 9. Even though you didn't mention 9, sorry. Yes, Betty.
As we said earlier, for the bike corral, could you just explain if the store or the restaurant takes responsibility for it, what is their actual commitment if, like, there's abandoned bicycles,
so
blocked, are they supposed to take
so
them away?
So their commitment is to clean it like a sidewalk,
right.
And to remove snow like a sidewalk. And if there is abandoned bikes, they are supposed to call either 311 or DOT or sanitation or NYPD.
Okay,
that's all. And I will add it in the
Bert?
Yeah, two questions. The street seats, I mean, I really like that. I've seen it in other cities. I'm glad we're introducing it. Who pays for it? Because two are for commercial, yeah.
The store,
the store pays
for it.
And they maintain
there is
it.
There's like a standard configuration, or they can have custom configuration, and then they pay for it.
Okay. So it's the public space, but they're like sort of renting it.
The adjacent property owner is responsible.
Okay. And on the newsstands, we keep, you know, accepting newsstands here, newsstands there. Do we have a policy,
We do have a policy, but it's a little bit like the sidewalk cafe. The rules of the city are very strict, and as long as the newsstand complies with the rules, pretty much it's going to be approved. So the transportation committee, generally, when there is a major problem, try to direct the applicant to different location, etc. But we have extremely limited powers on that subject. So we have a sidewalk policy which says we don't want more than this and that. And you know, it's a little bit of a moot point. It's a guidance, but it's very difficult to implement anything. In this case, the DOT has just reported that they reviewed the location and it's fine.
Leonie, you had a comment?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, Christine, so for the street seats, DOT actually funds it, $12,000 for new applicants, $4,000 for return applicants, so it's not often enough to fund the whole project. It depends on specific site design.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So the remainder is then
picked up. Remainder is what?
So it depends. Each of them, there are custom designs, and there's also the DOT designs. If you use an in-house DOT design, all of it is covered, but if you want to have a more elaborate design, you have to pay out of pocket. Like the lady at the High Line wants to have hers be nicer, she's going to pay more.
Because these are essentially sidewalk cafes for the restaurant or store or whatever, that's right there.
No, they're public space though.
I mean, I can just sit down if I want that. I don't have to go to the High Line cafe and buy a tea.
That's right. Anybody can sit. This is public seating.
Table service is not allowed.
Bert, let's make a date and we'll go have a seat.
We'll test out the bottles.
Exactly. We'll see if they make us buy anything.
Yeah, and they cannot serve there. I mean, they cannot
have
serve.
Well,
they can go inside and walk out.
I got you.
Okay,
so again, are any other questions? This is 2 through 8. Okay. Motion to vote on the bundle. Okay, second. All those in favor? Anyone opposed? Present not eligible? Abstentions? Okay, 2 through 8 have passed. Again, 7 is tabled. 9 is tabled. Okay, we'll move on to a great letter by JD. Letter number 10. JD, did you have to explain anything on this letter? Any friendly amendments that were already sent to you?
I didn't hear what you said about a great letter.
Somebody who read it and didn't read it told me that it was a great letter. Any questions? Marty?
Typos which have been pointed out, which will correct.
Thank you, Betty, for pointing out typos.
And we are going to find a way to include the fact that there were some people from that other neighborhood.
Thank you, JD. I think that's a great acknowledgement. It's an important conversation that we're having. It's not that we are moated communities, but we should respect the wonderfulness of each community, Hell's Kitchen included. So this letter focuses and does a terrific job. It's a terrific letter on focusing on Hell's Kitchen. There are two places where it could not acknowledge, I think, that goddamn Port Authority thing, creeping crud or whatever you want to call it, is going to affect not just Hell's Kitchen, but all of us, and that we all support that this room and this letter is an indication that the community board itself supports the work that wonderful work that we're doing today.
I think, as the chair said, there are going to be other opportunities, other letters down the road to make the point. This letter memorializes that meeting, which nobody from 14th Street said it's going to affect them. So it just talks about what was said at the meeting. I really don't think it's effective to put in the letter that the whole district's against this, because I don't know if that's a fact. All that's reported is what the people said at this meeting. The next letter, and I'm sure there'll be more, is when we should bring in that larger support when we've heard from them.
Well,
I can't put in the letter that everybody's against it in the whole district, because I don't know if that's a fact.
But you can certainly acknowledge the support that meeting received from numbers of people outside of the moat, myself and a number of others included. You didn't speak?
Right.
But David?
We were there in support.
I can put that in.
That's good.
David?
But there was the Lou Rosenthal was there, right? And she specifically said, this isn't in my district, but it impacts. My territory. So I think the concept did come up in the very concept came up. It didn't come up in 14th. It didn't come up in the south. It came up to the north. So, I mean, I understand the problem, but I think there was a sentiment at the meeting that was a broader.
I think it would be helpful if I knew specifically how it's going to affect 14th Street.
Well, no, it wasn't about the meeting. It was about the
district. If it's district-wide, how does it affect?
Joe?
Yeah, I would just say JD suggested putting that there's a much broader support
from the broader members of our community district as a way to vote for this letter.
That's a nice compromise. Okay. And just, Walter just pointed out, just on the copies, on the CCs, we do want to just make sure that we're mentioning that our assembly, that we are assembly members and not representatives that are in our state legislation. So just want to make that friendly amendment typo. Okay, so with adding that Chelsea is the only area concerned about the Port Authority. Oh, sorry. No, I didn't mean
that.
So, okay, so... Okay, so basically this letter amended with just mentioning that there's a broad support even outside of the targeted, the affected area. All those in favor? Anyone opposed? I'm not listening to that opposed because that was a joke. President not eligible? Okay, abstentions? All right, that passes. Just to mention on letter 11, the letter to the electeds, first off, a couple of friendly amendments that were made ahead of the meeting. We will not be copying Port Authority on this particular letter. We have a letter directly to them. We want to just direct this to the electeds, give them a little bit of breathing room in the event that everything we articulated may not be on the same exact page with them in Port Authority. And the other thing is, as you heard Jerry Nadler mentioned this evening, the number 7 line is not something that he supports going all the way to New Jersey, so we will, I think it's important to remove that from the letter since he is also addressed in this letter. We would like to make sure that this letter has everything that all of those electeds can sign on to, so if there are any questions or issues about removing that number 7 line to New Jersey portion. Dale?
Well, since it's phrased as like an exploration, like exploring, could it possibly be included but as an and or? Like just soften it a little bit?
Soften it a little bit? Ernest, your thoughts?
Could we possibly just remove the specifics of it being the 7th train extension and still indicate some kind of rail extension?
Transit,
or the
rail transit, rail transit to New Jersey, option, rail transit options to New Jersey.
Exactly.
Local.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good comment.
It's fair, actually, because we're talking about fixed rail. The other letter made a reference to light rail, which isn't really accurate. You can't really have light rail to New Jersey. You have to have
in the future, it'll hover. It'll hover over the water.
Light rail is different than subway. Light rail would probably...
Okay, so inside radio somewhere else. Betty, yes.
Which I said earlier, the bullet about lobby our position at the next Port Authority board meeting, which has the date, May 26th, I thought maybe we could sort of expand it. In other words, maybe they can't make it May 26th, but maybe they could make it the next month.
So we should mention both dates? The upcoming board meetings?
Like some sort of continuing... know, moving forward, something to indicate it's not we're just asking them to go for one day.
That's a good point.
One could go one day and one could go another day. And that also stimulated me to think that having been invited by Christine to one of these wonderful board meetings and seen it myself, that I suggest that we organize have a couple of people from the community board and from the community, just as, like we did for the town hall, to go to these silly board meetings and stand up and make statements. Each board meeting, we can keep saying it over and over again.
We will need to get t-shirts printed out too.
Yeah, maybe a good idea.
Ooh. Yes, Joe. Oh, that's good. Strongly represent. And Betty, you're suggesting that it indicates a continued presence at these board meetings instead of it specifically mentioning one date,
right.
So it's one and done.
Right.
Okay. And thank you also for the other edits, typos, et cetera, that you pointed out. Any other? Yes, Brad.
I just had a brief question. I noticed we don't really CC the mayor.
Thank you for pointing that out. We will CC the mayor. And I don't think our representative's here, but we'll have to give her a call. Or CAU unit, or is that what it's called? Community Affairs Unit, yeah. Sounds like some TV program. Any other questions on this letter? Okay, all those in favor as edited? Anyone opposed? Present not eligible? Abstentions? Okay, that passes. That will be the first of many letters, by the way, to our electeds on this. So, next is a letter to DOB. This is also one of many letters that have already gone about this issue and that will continue. Any questions about this letter? Joe? Great, so basically just changing so that it flows in the same order as we were contacting them, so it's a little bit, thank you, I wrote it very late at night, so I didn't remember. Jay?
Just on line 49, the word sabotage, is that another word that makes a little more clearly that they're...
Oh. Yeah, I wrote it, sorry.
I'm just wondering if the intent is that where there was excessive, where they let the building deteriorate to the state or encourage deterioration, rather than the word sabotage, which wasn't there in the context of sabotage.
Proactive negligence, is that what you'd like to use? I use the word sabotage because that's what it, that's how it's been characterized, but Joe, did you have any suggestions?
There's a couple of words in here that I was going to offer as edits afterward, sort of massage to make sure I would represent it doesn't create a problem for the board. Because the truth is, the intent is right, and how we write it kind of counts. I remember you wrote that letter, we would not object to the street wall thing, and that helped the building department do something they wanted to do. So I had some thoughts about that.
So we will massage the word sabotage into a gentler, friendlier characterization of sabotage.
And I must say, line 31 also similarly just needs better explaining. I didn't understand what it meant in terms of this overall context. So,
line 31?
In cases where the buildings are tenant occupied for their protection, as well as devise potential solutions that can prevent demolition.
Jake, so, can you grab some of the language from
yeah,
the
Yeah, I think...
Do you mean in cases where they're ordering people to move out to safety?
No, I think I dropped a couple words.
Yeah, it's about tenant protection plan. So,
yeah.
You know, we have this whole body of stuff, we'll just grab some stuff and drop it in.
Okay,
so traps. That's our main concern is this was a big meeting that Dolores has been memorialized of all these letters that we've written. And it's, you know, it's a lot that we talked about meeting. It's a hard one.
But thank you, Jay. I did miss a few words there. It didn't make any sense. So sorry about that. So the gist of this letter is, again, we had a meeting with DOB. All of our electeds were there. We were able to pinpoint some very key things that are wrong with their process. We had some specific asks that they have agreed to start working on, or they will be working on. In the case of Tom Kaler, as he mentioned, there's been immediate action as this board continues to talk about these issues. We just needed to make sure that this was not just a thank you for having the meeting, but reminding them of work that they still need to do and of what we would like to happen in the near future to make this process better and to prevent what's happening as we are losing more and more of our affordable stock to bad actors who literally are gaming the system. So that's the gist of it. All right. All those in favor as amended with lovely wording? Okay, anyone opposed? Present, not eligible? Abstentions? Okay, thank you. I'll get to work on amending that letter. Thank you, Joe, for your help. Okay, we're going to move on now to...
It's BLP.
Yeah. Frank or Bert, you have
news? Sure. The remaining five items are BLP items. They're being presented as new business because we did not have a quorum at our committee meeting. However, we went through the usual process. We met with the applicants. We negotiated stipulations with the applicants. And all five of these had the unanimous support of the seven BLP members who were at the meeting. I think I can divide them into two groups. 13 and 14 are two sidewalk cafes They're both locations where there previously have been sidewalk cafes. One of them, Chez Josephine on 42nd Street, has been there for decades. These are basically changes of ownership with either no changes to the operation, or in the case of item 13, they actually made the sidewalk cafe smaller. So it's nothing that hasn't been in these locations before. So I guess I propose we bundle those two.
Any questions? Okay, as bundled, all those in favor? Anyone opposed? Present not eligible? Abstentions? So I want to just mention, since Frank talked about quorum, just really quickly, we had some issues this month meeting quorum, having quorum for a lot of our committees. Must have been a strange month, not usually a problem, but especially with our two new members, I wanted to reiterate how important it is for us to have attendance at its fullest as possible, because a lot of the great work that we're doing cannot be done in an appropriate way. We've had a specific situation with Chelsea Land Use, where miscommunication, because we didn't have quorum, ended up with a lot of extra work for the co-chairs and for a couple other of us to sort out that situation. So if possible, if you're having issues with attendance or there's something going on, just let the board office know. Let's see if we can try to work this out. And shortly, hopefully within the next 2 months, as we are going to get some confirmations from our new board members and public members about where they would like to participate, we will have an opportunity to shuffle some folks if they need to for scheduling or just for an interest to other committees. So please try to attend as often as possible. Brad?
I think in extreme circumstances, are we able to, like, I'm open up my iPod and Skype in somebody that just happens to be away or something like that?
At this time, no. It is something that has come up at the borough president's office over the last 3 years. People have asked about being present on a conference call, Skype, etc. I think that as technology continues to improve, we'll get there where we can get them to change these regulations, we'll call it regulations, that do not allow us to participate in that way. I know that Gail Brewer's office is very technology forward, and they even have all of their borough board meetings live and online, so it is something I advocate for. I do understand the issue with voting, that is a concern, but in terms of participating, maybe that is something that we push for very soon, but at this point in time it is not allowed. Walter?
Just want to point out, we're dealing with state law on the open government. And the community board is considered a government agency. And the public must be able to listen to what's going on at any board session. So that anything which excludes the public from listening and listening, is currently illegal under state law. So it's not just a matter of the borough president or the city government changing the rules. You're dealing with a very strict state law and court decisions, and it's complicated.
Story of my life, it's complicated. Okay, Frank?
Okay, 15, 16, and 17 I think are equally straightforward. 15 and 16 are both new operators at places that had been licensed and operated for many years without complaint. Again, nothing is changing in the method of operation. It's just different people on the liquor license. Item 17 is a small bar in a hotel that is currently under construction on West 58th Street. It's way in the back of the lobby, a small piece of it. It does not seem like it's going to have any real street impact or be any kind of a destination. I think it's, from what we can tell, it appears to be strictly an amenity for the hotel guests.
One thing I noted is that they reached out to a lot of block associations in the 40s.
I think that was a typo. The lawyer involved here has had staffing problems.
Oh, so they might just copy from somebody else.
Copying problems,
okay.
Like that.
Because the only place I could think that they probably should reach out to would be John Jay College, because they have the new facility over there. And again, it's behind the new Durst building. So.
And I'm not sure there is any really active
not yet
block association.
Not yet. Okay, any questions on those items? Okay. All those in favor as bundled? Anyone opposed? Present not eligible? Abstentions? Okay, so just last thing, in terms of on the BLP topic, Jesse and I have been working out trying with Nellie to get some of the restaurant and bar owners together for a small business roundtable. We're hoping to put that together for them just to talk to them that we are a resource for them and also to hit upon some of the concerns and issues that they run into in running their businesses, hoping to establish a better working relationship with some of these businesses within our district. So look for that coming up hopefully at the end of the month. And my cats, Muddy and Clay, thank you for a short meeting because their grandma is away in Europe and they have not been fed this evening. So thank you. That's it. We're done. Oh, I need your vote sheets. I'm channeling Jesse. I need your vote sheets. Please, vote sheets. And put your names on them.